488.
Mr. Chair and Committee members, good afternoon.
Wait, you're going to tell us what 488 is all about?
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 488 comes to you from the Governor's Task Force on the Future of Services to Senior and People with Disabilities, and it requires the Director of DCBS to establish a pilot project to provide education and training on long-term care and retirement planning. In your packet, you also have a fiscal statement from the Legislative Fiscal Office,
okay.
FYI.
So we're going to have a series of public hearings, three bills in a row. And for Senator Brown, and we will open the public hearing for Senate Bill 488.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. For the record, State Senator Kate Brown represented Senate District 21, Southeast Portland, Northeast Portland, and Milwaukee. I'm very pleased to be here this afternoon, and I'm very grateful to you for giving these bills a hearing. I'm actually just going to give you a brief overview of the task force, and kudos to the many folks that served and were part of this. These bills, the three bills before you today, are the product of the Governor's Task Force on the Future Services to Seniors and People with Disabilities, which I co-chaired with my colleague Terry Waldruff with the Farmington Centers in Beaverton. And I have to tell you, because of the five special sessions, it was very difficult for me to participate, and Terry ended up carrying a great portion of the load, and I'm very grateful to her for that. The task force was formed by former Governor John Kitzhaber, MD, to prepare for the anticipated growth in the number of seniors and people with disabilities. The task force consisted of representatives from all over the state. They include folks from various agencies, provider organizations, consumers, advocates, physicians, commissions, and members, of course, of the Oregon State Legislature, of whom your chair is one. I'd like to thank all the representatives of the task force, and I believe Pam Ruona, who is our staff administrator, is also here, and thank her for her hard work. Oregon's system for long-term care services is frankly not prepared to meet the aging crisis looming before us. As you know, the senior population is expected to double within the next 10 years or so. There continues to be barriers to services, lack of capacity, system fragmentations, and other needs that must be addressed in order to meet the challenges of providing services to the aging baby boomers and the others. The task force acknowledges these barriers and made recommendations to provide the foundation for an aging and disability system capable of handling the growing population. And these bills before you, Senate Bill 488, 489, and 704, are the result of these recommendations. I would like to say on behalf of the task force that due to time constraints and a lack of representation on the task force with people with disabilities, it was not able to provide recommendations on a variety of issues relating to individuals with disabilities and as well younger people with disabilities. So it is my hope we will be able to come before you again this session with a bill for a task force that specifically addresses the needs of Oregonians who have disabilities. And I certainly would look forward to working with this committee on that particular task force. I would be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair, but I anticipate you have a number of folks who are going to give specific testimony on these bills, and they can more readily answer your questions.
Okay. Thank you. Did you wish to address any or all of the bills then? Okay. You're just, okay, just the introduction. Now, members of the subcommittee, have you had an opportunity to look at this at all?
Just last 5 minutes.
Okay. So this is new. Very good. So a lot of the information that will be presented is information that they may not have heard. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's good to see you. Okay. It's good to be a part of this committee. The chairs are just arranged from our Human Services Committee a little bit. So thank you.
Unfortunately, most of the committee is not here, so we are operating as a subcommittee right now. Thank you. Carl Lindberg and Jane, why don't you come up also? Where's Jane? Yeah, there she is, right in the front row.
Excuse Mr. Chairman. My name is Carl Lundberg. I'm the Deputy Insurance Administrator for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to, we're neutral on this bill, but it does create a fiscal impact for us, and we wanted to be sure that we made the committee aware of that. The insurance division does not currently provide education and training on long-term care insurance, nor does it offer any kind of information about retirement planning. Long-term care insurance is a product with which the division is familiar and has expertise. Retirement planning involves considerations including financial planning, which the division does not have any expertise about at all. The fiscal impact was prepared using the expertise we gained from our seniors' health insurance benefits assistance program, which we call SHEBA. This is a program which provides education and training to seniors about Medicare and Medigap, and so it has some outreach effects, and we thought it would be a good place to draw a source for to draw or make our fiscal impact from. In order to provide the education and training in a pilot program, we project we would need three positions. All these expenditures that we've calculated for 18 months for the 2003-05 and 6 months for the 2005-07. The what we would be able to do is, if the committee is willing, we would be able to work with the committee in such a way as to, if the bill was changed in some respects, to, it would reduce the fiscal impact. The bill, as it's currently stated, it requires education and training on long-term care, and it requires education and training on retirement planning. If the retirement planning, that's the piece we don't have the expertise on, and we have to buy that additional expertise. So if the bill was changed in some respect, and we're not saying it should be, we're just saying that if it was, that we could at least eliminate one position, and that would be the most expensive position that's in our fiscal impact. And so that's what we are bringing forward, is that we are willing to work with the committee in any way that we can. But we do have a fiscal impact.
Okay, thank you. This is, as we all know, difficult budget times, and anything with a fiscal impact, I guess, has some problems in terms of, you know, the entire budget. On the other hand, this is a health policy committee that was established, and I wish Senator Minnis was here, because he argued for a health policy committee to determine policy before we take action in implementing programs. And in my somewhat limited experience in on the House side for two sessions in the Human Resources Committee, I know that long-term care is an important consideration, obviously, and Senator Fisher has vast experience in that. But unfortunately, people don't think to plan for long-term care. And I mentioned during the committee, I have a number of children, none of whom I don't think are planning for long-term care, except my oldest, who is married to an attorney, and they are planning for long-term care. But I think it's something that we need to address, and I guess this is the beginning, and I'm hoping that we can move along the path even in tough fiscal times. So I do appreciate your testimony, and I appreciate your willingness to work to help resolve the fiscal. So not completely, but to lessen it. So thank you very much. Any other questions? Okay. Jane?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jane Baumgarten. I'm testifying as an individual and as a member of the Governor's Task Force on the Future of Services to Seniors and People with Disabilities. First, a general comment. Oregon developed a long-term care system based on dignity, independence, and choice that became a national model. Having the structure in place to build upon as we get beyond the present crisis and look to the future is critical. Moving onward, as the legislature labors to resolve its present budget problems, it is necessary to look and plan for the future. The next graying generation will arrive, ready or not. Senate Bill 488 takes a small step towards future planning. The objective of Senate Bill 488 is to provide education and training on long-term care and retirement planning for Oregon residents. It establishes a pilot project so that the effectiveness of the approach can be determined. As individuals progress through life's transitions, they may plan for both post-secondary education for themselves or their children and for other life events, but they seldom think about or plan for an eventuality requiring long-term care services. The need occurs and the individuals are forced to make immediate decisions. Wise or not wise, they have to make immediate decisions. Senate Bill 488's effort to reach out, to provide information, and to assist Oregonians to make informed retirement and long-term care decisions is one tool to assist the future graying generation. And being a pilot project, it tests the validity of this approach before moving forward. It's a step to consider because it utilizes tools and looks to the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Questions? Okay. Thank you. Are there others wishing to testify on Senate Bill 488? Okay. We will close the public hearing of the subcommittee on health and health policy. And we will move to Senate Bill 489. We'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 489. Dr. Higginson, would you please come forward? And Jane, would you come back?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 489, also coming from the Governor's Task Force on the Future of Services to Seniors and People with Disabilities, establishes a statewide healthy workplace recognition program in the Office of the Governor and requires the Department of Human Services to conduct a survey of availability of health and wellness information.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Higginson.
Chair Morissette, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dr. Grant Higginson. I'm the State Public Health Officer in the Department of Human Services, and I'm here today to speak to the bill and to provide information regarding the fiscal impact on the department. The first thing I just want to start by saying is the whole issue of nutrition, weight, activity is a critical one. Obesity and lack of physical activity is the second leading cause of preventable death in the state of Oregon, second only to tobacco use. And so it is a critical public health issue. And workplaces do have a key role to play in promoting health and wellness. We know that they've done great work in tobacco cessation programs. We know that also having wellness programs in workplaces is an effective way to get people healthier and to maintain their health. What this bill requires the Department of Human Services to do is to conduct a survey regarding the availability of information about health and wellness across the state of Oregon.
Excuse me just a minute. We will now convene our full committee. Our half full committee. More than half committee.
And we at the department do have considerable experience in gathering and analyzing these kind of data. And a couple of things we should clarify. One is that we have learned from this experience that one size does not fit all, that if you're going to do a survey like this, you really do have to tailor it, and you have to gather new and good and adequate information. And that is one reason why, if we were to look at this bill, we would want to use surveys and focus groups really to figure out what is getting out to people and what is the best way to deliver this information to be most effective in actually changing behavior so that they are engaging in less risky behaviors and more health-promoting behaviors. The other thing that we have learned is in surveys like this is that you really get what you pay for. If we want to do a good study, it is going to cost money. And just for an example, if we were to do a two-page mailed survey with approximately 20 questions to get information from 250 people in each of five regions of the state, we figure that the cost for doing that survey, when you include the data analysis and any reports, would be around $100,000. And that if we were going to include then giving other information from key informants, like the workplaces themselves, from hospitals, public health departments, other healthcare facilities, that would add additional costs as well. Of course, you could do something for much cheaper than that, but I think that the value of the information that you get back would be much less than if you were trying to do a quality program. The final thing I need to say is that funding for this activity is not included in the governor's budget, and therefore we cannot support the bill as written because of that fiscal impact. And I would also add that if the bill were to pass and it was made clear that we were to do this within existing resources available to us, that we would look for grant dollars to do this, but we could not guarantee that we would be able to find that and conduct the study.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Higginson. There's a model for your last suggestion. During the last session, I introduced a bill on behalf of the Attorney General to fund a violence hotline that would be available for people to call in concerning school violence, and there was no money to fund it, and so the Attorney General said that he would be responsible for the program if funds were available. Funds were not available until Senator Wyden came through about 6 weeks ago with $150,000 to fund that project. And so I would like to take you up on that offer to send this bill to your agency, your department. And this is an important issue. It's a health issue, and it deals with some of the things that we heard from Dr. Cohn earlier on obesity and the problems that we're having with diabetes and other illnesses as a result of that. So it is reasonable, I think, to assume that at some point there will be some funding available from either the federal government or from some foundation, perhaps, to fund this survey. So I'm hoping that we can do that, is to send it to you to deal with if there are funds available. So there would be no fiscal impact. If you proceeded with this, it would be with money that you managed to get either from the feds or from a foundation. So I would ask if we need an amendment to say funds available.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll work on that. So, but thank you very much for your testimony.
You're welcome.
Jane.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Jane Baumgarten. I'm testifying as an individual and as a member of the Governor's Task Force on the Future of Services to Seniors and People with Disabilities. I reside in North Bend, Oregon. I'm testifying in support of Senate Bill 489. This bill is one of several bills that have been introduced by the task force. This bill in particular addresses one of the overarching recommendations by the task force, which is to address personal responsibility by educating Oregonians on the need to engage in healthy lifestyles. More specifically, the recommendation of the task force from which this bill was developed are: develop state recognition and award programs for work sites that promote healthy policies, and develop and disseminate information regarding health and wellness via state and local public health agencies, use widespread education techniques to promote health. The task force, in its research, discovered that the baby boom generation and Oregonians generally do not engage in healthy lifestyles. In fact, over 50% of Oregonians are either overweight or obese. Obesity has increased by 66% since 1993. And I heard testimony in this committee on obesity several weeks ago. At the same time, only 29% of Oregonians are getting any physical activity for an average of 30 or more minutes per day on five or more days per week. These behaviors are risk factors in developing chronic diseases, which cost the individual and state an enormous amount of money in both long-term care and health costs. This bill begins to put an emphasis on the need for a larger statewide approach to assisting people in developing healthy lifestyles by creating a statewide workforce recognition program that would get employers involved in developing policies that promote health and prevent illness of employees. It would also require the Department of Human Services to conduct a survey and discover gaps of health and wellness promotion available throughout the state. The department is further required to determine the most effective means of providing health and wellness information and make recommendations for providing such information to areas of the state where gaps exist. While the task force understands that information alone will not change Oregonians' behavior, we do believe that changes in workplaces as well as information disseminated throughout the state can begin to make a difference and assist Oregonians in making better choices for healthier lifestyles. It gives information to empower the individual in their lifestyles. Again, I urge you to support Bill 489, and I thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Questions? We haven't heard, we're working with the governor's office on this, but we need to touch bases with them on the recognition. So that's the other part of this bill, which we will do. So are there others wishing to testify? Okay, seeing no others, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 489 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 704.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 704 is also from the Governor's Task Force on the Future of Services to Seniors and People with Disabilities. It creates the Task Force on Long-Term Care and directs the Task Force to review and make recommendations on the delivery and evaluation of long-term care services and submit a report to the next Legislative Assembly. I did have the Dash 1 amendment drafted, and that clarifies that the Advisory Committee on Long-Term Care will not only develop recommendations for rate-setting criteria, but also a model rate structure for nursing facilities, assisted living facilities, residential care facilities, and adult foster care homes. At the beginning, well, about 1 o'clock, we did receive the Dash 2 amendment, and I'm going to defer to someone else to explain that for you.
Okay. So we have three individuals signed up to testify. David Fuchs, would you please come up, and Janine Delaney, and Catherine West.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd also like to remind you that in your packet you have testimony from AARP on Senate Bill 704.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is David Fuchs. I'm the CEO of Cedars-Sinai Park, a comprehensive senior care campus in Portland. I'm also legislative chair of the Oregon Alliance of Senior and Health Services, which is the not-for-profit association of long-term care health providers in Oregon, and I was a member of the governor's task force on the future of services to seniors and people with disabilities. I wanted to point out, before giving my formal testimony, in the governor's task force report, which you have on pages 5, 6, and 7, these are the some of the language, which is the basis for the bills that you have before you. 704 is focused on outcome-based decision-making, personal responsibility is the focus of both Senate Bills 488 and 489. So I wanted to point out that that's the basis for the legislation that you're looking at today. The bills before you for consideration today are work products of the governor's task force, as you know. Although this is a very difficult time, and most of us are, all of us are deeply concerned about the survival of the system of care today, as Oregon faces enormous financial challenges, the work of the task force also calls us to look at the long-term future and to realize that the baby boomers are coming. The ship of state is a very large one, and it can't turn quickly, so we really need to start that process of turning towards this challenge now as we face the difficulties we face today as well. Although the scope of the task force work is very comprehensive, I want to speak really with your permission to all three of the bills that you've just spoken to. Senate Bill 704 creates a task force on long-term care, which will focus on establishing a methodology for rationally determining appropriate rates for various levels of care to seniors and disabled Oregonians, and developing reimbursement strategies which focus on empirically measured outcomes. In addition, the task force will review staffing, workforce compensation, and a number of other key concerns. The effort to create an empirical model for both determining what are appropriate outcomes for levels of care and a methodology to be able to determine what is the appropriate rate at which reimbursement should take place related to the various levels of service would be a significant improvement in the way we manage the care system today. It takes the decision-making out of a set of political relationships and puts it into an outcome-focused and empirically focused a way of doing business, which I think all of us as Oregonians would like to see happen. I think this is probably the key component of Senate Bill 704 and the strongest reason for my support for it. Senate Bill 488 promotes the development of the small pilot projects to provide education on retirement planning to citizens, as you've heard, in non-long-term care. One of the things I tell all of my friends who are approaching 50 is to make a plan for their second 50 years. The generation we are serving today are to a significant degree surprised by the fact that they have lived this long, and many of them are challenged by the fact that their financial planning did not anticipate living well into their 80s. I think we need to recognize and to educate our population that they're going to get their second 50 years, and they have to do financial planning now to be able to address the responsibility of self-sufficiency during that time period. And Senate Bill 489 does focus on health promotion and primary prevention, something that we really need to be focused on. If people are going to be self-sufficient and take care of themselves, I think being responsible for your own health care, making better health decisions, is a key aspect of that. And I want to share, I applaud the idea of human services entrepreneurship, the idea of seeking grants to be able to achieve some of this work and some of these goals. As not-for-profit organizations, Alliance members routinely go through the process of fundraising, grant writing, and trying to develop resources to be able to achieve goals. And we are willing to work with the state. I mentioned to Dr. Higginson we would be willing to work with the state in an application process to organizations like the Northwest Health Foundation and to others to help to seek some of the funds to be able to make this kind of a project possible. So thank you very much, and I'd be glad when the time comes to respond to any questions.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Janine. Senator Morissette and committee, I'm here to testify in support of 704 with the amendments as proposed.
Now, identify yourself, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Janine Delaney, and I'm the director of the Oregon Disabilities Commission.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Before I get started, I do want to make a note that this bill doesn't have people first language in it. It talks about disabled instead of people with disabilities. I don't know whether we want to deal with it on this side or the House side, but I would just point that out to the committee.
We will deal with it on this side because we're not going to move this bill today, so we'll have a chance to do that.
Okay, thank you. I just particularly want to note that I did serve on the task force, the Future of Long-Term Care for Seniors and People with Disabilities, and noted at that time that people with disabilities were certainly underrepresented on that task force. So when we looked at this task force and what it was proposing to do, we asked that people with disabilities be added, and they have been in the amendments. We appreciate that. I think it's important. The needs of seniors and people with disabilities are somewhat different, and in order to address long-term care issues for younger people with disabilities, we need to have them be a part of this group and to hear from folks, especially folks who are informed by the independent living movement of self-determination and inclusion, informed about the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Olmstead decision and the implications for people with disabilities. I realize that the work of this legislative task force is limited, but I think it's important to have its work informed by people with disabilities. We take seriously the whole notion of nothing about us without us and want to be present at the beginning when the policies that are going to impact our future are decided upon. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. Questions? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Catherine White with the Oregon Council on Developmental Disabilities, and I'm here on behalf of the Cross Disability Coalition, which is a large coalition of disability groups and consumers from throughout Oregon. And we're here testifying in favor of Senate Bill 704 with the amendments. As Janine mentioned, we believe that it's critically important that the issues of young individuals with disabilities, those below the age of retirement, be considered in the work of the commission. I'd also like to just reiterate our future support for the concept that Senator Brown addressed, which was the issue of really addressing the system of services that serve people with disabilities. And it was one of the items that the task force, because of the limited time and the very large workload, was unable to really address. And Senator Brown had mentioned earlier today the possibility of looking at an additional task force to address those issues. Until that happens, however, we want to very definitely support this bill so the issues of rate setting and outcomes and as they relate to people with disabilities, as Janine said, are informed by people with disabilities and those individuals involved in that service system. Thank you.
Questions? Would someone address the Dash 2 amendments? Do you have them?
Here, David.
Dash 1? Wait a minute. We have...
Here. Here's the Dash 1 and the Dash 2.
Oh, well...
Okay. The Dash 1 amendments are simply an effort to clarify the various levels of care that we might want to take a look at as we consider issues of rate structure, model rate structure. Nursing facilities, to a very significant degree, operate well with a good deal of information around model rates. Assisted living residential care facilities and foster care homes, unfortunately, do not have a model rate structure established. So the gathering of information and the development of a model rate based on a reasonably established set of outcomes for those services is very reasonable. I've had others mention to me that perhaps home care should also be included as one of the components where model rate structures tied to outcomes should be achieved. That's what the Dash 1 amendments are about. The Dash 2 amendments, to a very significant degree, degree are an effort to be inclusive of the disabled Oregonian population and to insert language assuring that, that members of the task force are representative of individuals from the disabled community or people with knowledge of services regarding disabled individuals, both young and elder disabled. In addition, there's a little bit of a clarification in terms of the language. The original language in the bill talked about subsidization of the private sector by the public sector, and that has been clarified to be more accurate as subsidization of the public sector by the private sector for long-term care services, which is really how it's working. So there's a little bit of clarification there. So that's fundamentally what's in the Dash 2 amendment.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Okay, good. Thank you for testifying.
Thank
Anyone
you very
else
much.
Wishing to testify on this bill? Before I close the public hearing, we're not going to have a work session, but I just would like to reiterate what I said earlier about this being a health policy committee. Senator Minnis. And I credit Senator Minnis with the creation of this committee for the purpose of ready, aim, fire, rather than ready, fire, aim. And I think it's important that we take the time to look ahead and try to give serious thought to where we want to go with some very, very important issues. And long-term care is certainly one of them because, as we know, the baby boomers are all over. They're coming. And we will have considerable problems that we don't want to wait to have to face when it's a dire emergency. We have an emergency at the present time, though, in funding some of the things that we're talking about as a first step. So we will come back again and talk about this one more time, and hopefully we will have a work session on each of these bills. But I do appreciate your presence and your participation and your guidance on this issue. So thank you very much for being here. So we will open a public hearing on our favorite bill from, where are we? Oh, 145, Senate Bill 145.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 145 was before the committee on the 28th of January. It declares public health policy of Oregon and creates the Interim Public Health Assessment and Improvement Advisory Committee. At the time, we discussed drafting an amendment that is the Dash 2 amendment stapled to your packet, which removes Section 1 and turns it into a preamble. Again, it's the health policy of Oregon, which is now a preamble. The amendment also increases the membership of the advisory committee from 10 to 12 by adding one member who represents Portland State University School of Community Health and also a member representing a provider of health insurance plans. And also the amendment identifies that the Conference of Local Health Officials will have administrative responsibility along with the Department of Human Services over the advisory committee.
Okay. What amendment is that?
The Dash 2 stapled to your...
Okay, we have two individuals signed up to testify. Dr. Hickinson, would you come forward, please? And Bruce Bishop, would you come forward?
Chair Morissette, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dr. Grant Higginson. I'm the State Public Health Officer with the Department of Human Services, and I'm here in support of what is my favorite bill, also Senate Bill 145. As I testified a few weeks ago when this bill first came up, that basically does two things. One, it was to put into statute a nationally recognized framework for how the state would look at public health services that we provide here through the public health system, which is the state public health agency and local health departments. And then the second thing it did was created a task force to do an assessment of public health services that are being provided across the state, to look at the most effective ways to be providing those services, and then to do a plan for filling any gaps that potentially were identified. At the testimony, there were people that had either concerns or comments on the bill as it was originally drafted. The Catholic Conference was concerned that the framework that we were putting into statute, while we believe it was simply a policy statement, they were concerned that it was going to provide the Department of Human Services with additional authority, additional general public health authority, which was never our intent, and consequently the committee suggested that a way to get around that would be to create a preamble. The Conference of Local Health Officials just wanted to be clear that this was a joint project that state public health and local health departments were doing together, so consequently there's been an addition that says that the task force would be jointly administered by state public health and the Department of Human Services and local health departments. However, all of the administrative costs for doing this would be borne by the State Department of Human Services and not county government. There were two groups that wanted to make sure that they were included on the task force, and so amendments have been added to include the insurers and Portland State University. And finally, I think that is the gist of the amendments. I think that we now have covered the issues that were brought up, and I am hopeful that the bill can move forward.
Okay, thank you. There is no fiscal impact.
Chair Morissette, that is correct. And anything that would cost in the way of administrative services or travel would be borne within existing resources. Again, this is an issue that we feel is important, and we'll be looking for grant funds to help supplement what we would be doing anyway.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair.
Any questions of Dr. Higgins? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bruce Bishop. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. We believe that the Dash 2 amendments do, in fact, make substantial improvements in the bill, although this bill would still not rise to the level of being our favorite bill. And, in fact, it's probably not even a priority bill for the Hospital Association today. We think there are other more important legislative issues that this committee and the Assembly will be addressing. By moving out substantive provisions from the bill and putting them into the preamble, many of the problems that we were concerned about with the bill are addressed, and we would hope that the committee would act favorably on the Dash 2 amendments for that reason. I would also like to say that we do appreciate being listed specifically in the bill as a proposed participant in the interim effort to address public health. We have some concerns about the priority order in which those participating organizations are listed, and thought that maybe the Hospital Association could be given higher priority, but we'll leave that to the committee to decide. Finally, I would just mention that there is an emergency clause on this bill, and it still doesn't seem like this bill warrants that level of attention.
Thank you. Questions? Did you have a response to the level of attention this bill warrants?
Chair Morissette, I understand and respect Mr. Bishop's position there, and clearly there are some very substantive issues being addressed by the legislature right now, and the budget crisis, and particularly how it influences the Oregon Health Plan, is something that I wish you all the luck in, because it is a major issue that needs to be addressed, and I look forward to your solutions. On the other hand, though, I would say that using prevention prevention and population-based approaches to preventing diseases before they happen is another critical part of health picture and does have a substantial influence on health care as well. And so my hope is that the work we would be doing through this bill would have a substantial impact on the health status of the people of the state of Oregon.
Okay. And not to belabor the priorities or the things that you have to do, the whole new Homeland Security issue suddenly presents itself, and even though there is federal money, have you received the federal money that has been promised?
Chair Morissette, yes, we have. Beginning in June of 2002, the state received approximately $14.2 million.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I wish. $14.2 million for public health preparedness and bioterrorism response. And actually, one of the things that we're doing in that, and we've been working closely with the Hospital Association, is an assessment of hospitals and health systems' ability to respond to bioterrorism events. That clearly would be one of the pieces of information that we would be using in the work that the task force is doing and would be reporting back to you on in the next legislative session.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Further testimony? Okay, seeing no further testimony, we will close the public hearing and I will dare to open a work session. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments. Senate Bill 145.
Okay. Senator Jimenez moves the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments. Senate Bill 145. Okay. Would you, the clerk, end discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Senator Jimenez?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Senator Starr? Senator Walker? Senator Fisher?
Aye.
Senator Morissette?
Aye. Okay, I'm going to stand at recess for just a moment until I have my counsel advise me. Yes?
Get out of the way, Bill. You're in the way
again. There is no this one, so we need to move that. Okay. We're back in session.
I think the motion passed.
It did. Are we going to remove this?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move that I move that Senate Bill 145 be sent to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation as amended, and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee be removed.
Okay. Discussion. Okay. Would the clerk call the roll, please?
Senator Menes?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
No.
Senator Walker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, aye.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Morissette?
Aye. So we have motion passed.
Yeah, 4-3.
4-2, the motion passes. It will go to the floor and I will carry the bill. Thank you.
Oh, that's without the amendment, right?
That's without the amendment.
Well, we
okay.
Do.
Should have asked
okay.
That.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here today, and we will adjourn the meeting.
What? We're done?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long meeting for you, Walker.
Good timing.
I was testifying next door on one of my bills, and it took forever.